Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
All right. We're both having issues with our heads today.
Yes, head issues as we start a Friday.
Yours is in the cranium area, the upper skull zone.
Yes.
New headphones.
Yeah, I broke my last pair, and I was like, you know what? I deserve something nice, so I got a new fresh pair, and they are tight.
You got top of the charts. Those are the Sonys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not messing around.
No, those are grade A radio DJ headphones, but just like
I got
new
a big
shoes,
head.
They come, well, no, I think it's just you got to wear them in, right?
Yeah.
It's like we all have to the size of what we're getting. It's just you got to stretch them out a little bit.
Exactly.
Right?
I stretched mine up, my last one so hard I snapped them.
Snapped it in the middle.
I think that might be evidence for a large head. I might have a big
head.
You
have a regular head.
Okay.
Meanwhile, over here, and I'm guessing it's just I've had a couple of major MC events. And do you have like a subconscious tick? For example, I find that I subconsciously chew on the inside of my mouth.
When you're nervous?
Well, not really.
All the time.
Not all. No, it's. I don't think I'm nervous. I think it's just I'm processing.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I have a little bit of a owie on the inside left.
And you did this to you.
Yes. But I have to guess you, whether it's playing with a pen.
Yes.
Or biting a nail.
Chew your nails or something.
Or next thing you know, you've picked off. Yeah. Do you have one of those?
Not so much. I try not to. Like, I had a... Like,
what are you, Eddie Murphy? Did you cure yourself of it?
I am Eddie Murphy, and I cured myself of my OCD, so I don't have it anymore. A doctor never diagnosed me either, but it's totally legit. Thanks, Eddie. No, I try not to. I got into nails for a while, mm-hmm. and then that's why I kind of started, like, having them done. It's like, well, you can't ruin them if they're done.
Is there anybody that does inside mouth work so I can't ruin it?
You should just get braces.
I mean, this doesn't happen very often.
No.
But... when it does, it takes a little while. It's kind of like when you burn the roof of your mouth.
Yes.
Right?
It's the worst. Although, skin on the inside of your mouth is the fastest growing regenerative cells, so it shouldn't be long.
Why isn't that skin on the outside of your body, too?
Right? Why don't we have it everywhere?
Because remember when I cut my hand mysteriously 2 weeks ago?
And then...
I still have a wound there.
Yes, you have a wound forever. It looks like you really went through something.
I did.
But you don't remember
I don't know how I cut my hand.
I don't know how I cut myself, but look, it's still there.
But I got a scar and I got a story.
Well, the story is, I don't remember.
I don't know. I was there.
What a story.
But I don't remember it happening.
It's got a beginning, middle, and end, and they're short.
So good news, we got Saturday and Sunday to rest up. And get through your big head and
right?
my mouth sores.
Before the sores take over.
Oh,
and do you remember, I feel like this was just a few short months ago, we were talking about rock, paper, scissors.
Yes.
And how most people
lead
will
with
throw
rock. Yes.
That was the thing that we learned. Well, a team in Australia had people play 15,000 rounds of rock, paper, scissors against a computer. And they scanned their brains to see how we make those decisions. What is the best strategy when you're playing rock, paper, scissors?
I love this concept, but how do you know what I'm thinking? Where is the probe?
Where's the probe? What does it tell you? How does the brain light up rock, paper, scissors?
Exactly.
I don't know exactly how the computer and the scanner thing worked on your brain, but I will tell you what they found.
Okay.
Randomness. It's all random. Duh!
That's because we all have a different strategy, and it also depends on our opponent, which is also throwing randomly.
Yes. It's just try to forget what happened the last round, and don't try to predict what the other person is going to do. Just be random.
That's their recommendation?
Their recommendation is if you are in a rock, paper, scissors battle, don't try to read the other person. Don't overanalyze. Don't think that most people are going to throw rocks first. Don't think about anything.
But most people do throw rock first.
Just think about your next choice and make it a random one.
Did they get paid for this?
I don't know, but they should not be. They should
fire them.
They should pay all of us for having to have listened to
we had to suffer through that.
The results of this study.
I don't
and
like.
Also, quit playing rock, paper, scissors for science and then calling it science.
Yeah.
You're just having a fun Friday.
I embrace and love and respect science.
Oh, yes.
But you know what? Boo!
Boo! Science?
Boo! Bad study. Bad.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Deep thoughts. I'm trying to just kind of self-soothe because yesterday I kind of walked into something. My daughter was begging me to sign her up for dance classes.
Dance classes?
Yeah. This is new.
Is this that old daughter or young daughter?
The old young daughter.
The young daughter.
Yeah.
All right.
Little Cora has some friends who do dance. And while she has never asked before, suddenly she's interested. Volleyball season's over and she was doing gymnastics for a time. She's decided not to do that. So she's like, I need something. And I suggested basketball. And she said, no, Mom, I think I want to jump into dance.
And the answer is?
I signed her up for a class. She's going to do a hip hop
Yes!
class.
That's cool.
I'm nervous. I don't know why I'm so hesitant. I'm like, well, but.
I know exactly why.
Why?
Because you're like, you're going to get a year into this and you're going to drop out. That's why you're hesitant.
And I'm like, wait, costs. I know it costs a lot. There's this whole thing, you know, you're going to have a recital and then you have to get a costume.
At some point, because we went through this with, I had friends who played basketball. I am not built.
Mm-hmm.
As a basketball playing machine. And every year they would go to the Iowa Hawkeye basketball camp.
Oh, yeah.
At Carver Hawkeye. Uh-huh. And every year I wanted to go. And every year my parents had to sit me down and said, you don't play basketball.
You're not going to this camp.
You're not going to this camp.
It's not for you.
I don't care that your friends do it.
Yeah.
You have other, do these things instead.
Yes.
So I feel like you're about there.
I'm like,
you need to start guiding with a little more of a firm hand.
Like, you've never done it before, so you're going to be brand new, and they've been doing it since.
I mean, I do like, at least she's still at that age to try stuff out.
Yes,
and maybe I don't this is discourage. Not the discouraged.
Yeah. We're just going to do one class. We're just going to try it out, see how it goes.
But let's say you get through a year of this, and then it's like, how about ballet? And like,
that's what pops up first on this class schedule.
All the time.
Right? I don't think we're ballet people.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. But then again, you never know when and where you're going to find, and it's going to blossom, and there's going to be passion. Let me take you to my nephew, Peter, who started playing football in grade school. Now that kid is in the dome tonight. Liberty is taking on Waukee Northwest. So you want to know what North Liberty's doing tonight? Everybody's going to Cedar Falls.
Heck yeah.
So their game is at 7 tonight. Take it on Waukee Northwest. They're both 10-1. Do you think most
starts at 7 p.m.? Yeah.
Well, most people, because I'm sure the bus gets up, like, probably leaves about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Going to be a caravan.
Uh-huh.
So I'm guessing, like, everybody's going to eat in the district or whatever the Cedar Falls campus area is and then walk on over to the dome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So we have tickets to a show in Cedar Rapids, or I would be there.
No kidding.
Right in center. I so want to be there, but can't make it work.
Yeah. Well, you didn't know, right?
No, you got those ahead of time, but we've been kind of following a lot. When we were in Lincoln, Nebraska, we actually subscribed to some third party that was broadcasting his game so we could watch it in the hotel room.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So you're going to be watching the show.
I might have my phone in my lap.
Intermission. Check the score.
If you see a glow at CSPS tonight, it's just me.
Okay.
Checking on my nephew's football score.
Totally normal.
Liberty, take it on Waukee Northwest. That's at the 7 o'clock coming up at the Dome tonight. We had a big win with Xavier yesterday. Some other schools. We get to all of that coming up in The Buzz.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
Some good news now that the government is... It's kind of like starting a car. It's still warming up, but at least the ignition.
It's exactly like starting a car.
The ignition has finally been turned.
It's the best way we can explain it.
By the end of the day, we believe SNAP benefits in the state of Iowa fully funded. There is a phone number on the back of SNAP cards. Check that to get your balance before you go shopping, or you can always go to the website. 130,000 households in Iowa. That's 270,000 Iowans are receiving SNAP benefits.
Thank you. Goodness.
Iowa 6 regional food banks have received enough donations this month to trigger a $1 million match from the governor. The Des Moines-based food bank serves 55 counties. They're going to get about $475,000 from the state. The rest of the money gets split among Food Bank of Siouxland, Riverbed Food Bank in Davenport, Northeast Iowa Food Bank in Waterloo, Food Bank for Heartland of Omaha, and HACAP in Eastern Iowa. And while we're talking about food, this would be the perfect opportunity to let you know that Z102.9 has teamed up with the Iowa Heartlanders in Iowa City, and they are going to, after this weekend's matchup, so then for the rest of November, starting on the 19th, they're doing an Open Your Heart November Pantry Drive, and it's non-perishable food items. And I think we've learned a lot more lately, besides just the food, some nice basic toiletries.
Those are
also very helpful.
Much appreciated. And everybody who donates, by the way, I think this is so cool. The Heartlanders are going to give each family a $5 voucher to use towards the concession stand. So you do a little good and then you get something back. How great is that?
Yep. So this is all setting up for the first of five donation opportunities. The recipient for Wednesday, November 19th's game will be the Iowa City Free Lunch Program. So if you're headed out to that game with the Heartlanders coming up next Wednesday, grab a canned food item or two and make sure to bring that along with you. Before we wrap up the buzz, let's look first at some sports shorts. Xavier taking down Newton yesterday in Cedar Falls, 31-24. Going to take on Pella in the Class 4A High School Football Final coming up next week. Today's games, Class 1A, Grundy Center takes on Iowa City Regina. Class 5A, Waukee Northwest taking on my nephew and my nephew alone.
Peter Hansen.
Liberty High School, they're both 10-1. That's going to be a great matchup. Tomorrow, Solon will be playing Nevada in Class 3A football.
You just put so much on Pete. Poor Pete. You have to take them on the load.
He's a second team All-Stater. So they've got this. They've got this. Let's get you over to what got us feeling all right. So it's an away game. We will not have a wave song, but we do have a kid captain. A kid captain who, by the way, the family's going to the game.
Oh, really?
Probably already there.
Oh, that's lovely.
Let's salute 12-year-old Blake Bonta. He is from Urbandale.
Okay.
Just 2 years ago, diagnosed with rare brain cancer. He's had a busy couple of years, though. He has become an honorary member of the Urbana Police Department.
Fun.
And when he was diagnosed, and because he's from Urbandale, there's a connection to Caitlin Clark there.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
Started doing some fundraisers, autographed basketball, among other things. In 2 years, he has helped raise $100,000 for pediatric cancer research.
Wow.
How awesome is that?
That's wonderful.
Bonta family will be in Southern Cal for the game. Your kid captain, Iowa USC, is 12-year-old Blake Bonta from Urbandale. That's got us feeling all right on a Friday morning.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
It was a pretty scary day on the red carpet the other day. The cast of Wicked, they were actually, okay, to be fair, it was a yellow carpet because, you know, Oz. They were doing a premiere for Wicked for Good in Singapore yesterday, and an overzealous fan jumped the barricade and rushed toward Ariana Grande.
That sounds scary.
It was a scary moment. The fan... Now that we've seen the whole video and seen how it all went down, the fans seemed harmless. There was no intent. They were just super excited, caught up in the moment, broke through security, ran up, put his arm around Ariana Grande. But she never saw him coming, and it very noticeably shook her up. She was, you know, you just have somebody towards you and grabbing you.
We've had this story before, like in press conferences or, you know, doing a Q&A on a stage.
Yeah, you don't see that person coming towards you. It's just, it scared her.
And you're so vulnerable because in that moment, you're just kind of caught up in what's happening.
She was vulnerable, except luckily for Ariana Grande, she had Cynthia Erivo on her arm. The cast was all walking, linked arm in arm. Ariana Grande was on the end. Cynthia Erivo was like two people down from her, but she shoved the guy away and put her arms around Ariana Grande immediately, and then security steps in.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she was on it. Michelle Yeoh was also there, and we know that she can kick some butt in real life.
She has martial arts tendencies.
Yes. She was there. Did not have to whip out those skills, but she did comfort Ariana Grande, who was very... scared afterwards.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, are you okay? Everybody's okay. And, you know, just kind of a weird, you're just starting the premiere, walking the carpet. Everybody was just a little shook up after that. Understandably so. Let's do some nice news. How about some baby news? Congratulations, Cardi B.
Cardi B got a baby.
Mother of four. This is her fourth child. It is a boy with her boyfriend, NFL star Stephon Diggs. Her people say Cardi is healthy and happy. And they're just excited. She's got her three kids previously with Offset, Culture, Wave, and Blossom. Is her second son, but this is Stefan Diggs' first son. He's got two daughters and from a previous relationship as well. So congratulations to the happy couple. Okay, AC/DC is in Australia right now. Not just the bagpipers I was telling you about yesterday.
But that times out now makes more sense on that bagpipe world record yesterday.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So AC/DC on some sort of world tour then, it sounds like?
Yeah, and they were in Melbourne on Wednesday night in Australia and actually registered seismic activity, which you could, I totally understand with a little bit of thunderstruck going on.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You hear about this every once in a while, the size of the show, the song that's being played, just the way the fans are into it.
The speakers, the fans, it all goes in together. It was huge and it registered seismic activity, but scientists said it did not come anywhere close to Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. The AC/DC speakers registered between 2 to 5 hertz range, but the scientists at the Seismology Research Institute said that the largest signals they received were the three nights that Taylor played there because they're picking up ground motion, not
in that
just,
same location in Australia.
Yes.
Okay.
At the exact same site. They pick up ground motion with seismic activity. It's not just the vibration from the speakers pumping out sound. It is the crowd jumping up and down. That energy is what they're measuring. So the fans were more
into it
for Taylor Swift.
Let's be fair. AC/DC fans are older.
Fair.
They can't jump as much. The hips and knees can't take it.
That's not fair. Okay?
That's not a fair comparison. Taylor Swift fans, young.
Spry.
Vibrant.
Very vibrant, especially after she just released a new trailer for her 6-episode docuseries all about the Eras Tour. I watched the whole thing last night. It looks so good. I can't wait. 2 episodes drop each week starting December 12th, and that also coincides with a 1-hour presentation of a concert film, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, the final show, December 12th at 8 p.m.
How many episodes total?
6. So 2 episodes will be released December 12th.
Disney knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
You're going into Christmas.
Yeah.
You're going to up those subscriptions on Disney Plus.
Gonna have to get it for Christmas.
Oh, man.
So smart.
Good for them.
So that's business right there.
That's Taylor Swift knows business.
That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Welcome to Nerd News.
Woo, good to be here.
On this 46th week of the year, 2025. My math is right. Friends, we have 6 or less Nerd Newses for the rest of the year. And with vacations and holidays and such.
Man.
Maybe even less than that.
Make them count.
Broadcasting from an elevation of 840 feet above sea level from a latitude of 41.88 degrees north and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west, this is Nerd News. America has 2 farmer's almanacs.
Since when?
And that was news to me. Since 1818, Claire.
Well, because Ben Franklin, right, started it?
That is the old farmer's almanac, and I'm going to get to that in a second.
What?
It's a different name. The farmer's almanac, source of long-range weather forecasts for farmers in the U.S. and Canada. It's stopping. No more print, no more online publications. It's first published by Jacob Mann of Morristown, New Jersey in 1818. Went into widespread publication in 1933.
Wow.
Website shuts down in December. They'll print one more edition for
2026. Then they got a website?
They went all the way to a website.
Wow.
Don't confuse that with the old Farmer's Almanac, which is the one that you see printed for sale all around the Midwest.
Yeah.
That's the old. The word old makes the difference.
Okay.
That's where it caught me off guard. I didn't know we had Farmer's Almanac and old Farmer's Almanac.
Right.
That goes back to 1792.
The old one.
That's OG.
That's why they named it the old
one. Old.
Yeah.
That one, still in print. Still
really?
Doing its thing. Yeah. But the Farmer's Almanac.
So did they ever like have beef? Did they have turf wars?
I don't know. Why didn't you just merge?
Yeah. Be one.
Would have made this a lot easier because all you're doing is fighting horoscopes and forecasts and recipes.
Yeah.
Right? That's it.
Just combine forces, you guys.
Maybe they both were too nice. And like, no, we could both live in the same Farmer's Almanac
playground.
They didn't
predict it in their own almanacs. So
they also didn't see it coming.
They cannot.
That's
come
a good
together.
Point. They didn't see the demise of one of them.
Hmm.
Industry experts say the dispute between Disney and YouTube TV is costing Disney roughly $30 million a week.
A week?
$4.3 million a day. And while I don't have the rough numbers, YouTube TV could lose 25% of their subscribers if they don't get this thing figured out. And we're into 2 weeks of this. This all started October 31st. Disney wants more money from YouTube for YouTube to carry Disney channels. And Disney is 20 channels.
Right.
All the sports.
ABC. ESPN.
Exactly. Disney says YouTube refuses to pay a fair rate, while YouTube says Disney is trying to rate hike because they're trying to make up for the lost revenue with the Jimmy Kimmel thing.
Oh.
Now.
I thought it was a bad box office.
Also.
There's a couple of
reasons. The last six Pixar movies.
Not so good.
Some experts, though, are seeing usually these staring contests do have a natural resolution. 2 weeks is about the average.
Okay.
We think there's been a little bit of some break in the ice, but I wouldn't expect it yet. The way YouTube's trying to hold on to people is they just off, because I'm a YouTube subscriber.
Yeah.
There's a 20, I get 20 bucks back now for
That's
not
nice.
1 month of not having Disney. So I think everybody believes at some point it's got to get itself figured out. We're not there quite yet.
Please figure it out.
They're working on it. Claire.
Eric.
How do you solve a problem like screwworm? The U.S. Department of Agriculture announces the next milestone in the fight against the New World screwworm, the opening of a sterile fly dispersal facility in Mexico.
What are you talking? What
I'm going to break this all down. Okay. Let's start with the screwworm.
What is it?
It's not a worm. It's a fly. It's a parasitic fly.
Oh, sick.
And it lays its eggs in the wounds of cattle. And it is primarily in Mexico to the south. And as of right now, the most recent case is about 70 miles from the U.S. border. So, how do you get screwworms to stop screwing around?
Yeah.
You put out sterile screwworms.
Sterile? How do you sterilize a screwworm?
Oh, it takes a lot of tiny, tiny instruments.
Teeny, tiny tweezers.
A lot of patience. Steady handstand. And the world's... You find the best player of operation, and you let that person go to work.
Wow.
So, if... the sterile screwworms can breed with the non-sterile screwworms.
Go
you're
back.
Gonna. You're, what?
Somebody's day at work was sterilizing screwworms.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Was it a day? Was it 2 days?
It's probably by the millions.
Like, oh, babe, sorry. I'm going to be late for dinner because I got to sterilize all of these screwworms.
They just gave me a whole other container of screwworms.
I can't leave until they're all... They're actually flies, so you can see where I'm at. I'm up to my elbows here.
It's a gross job. It's a confusing job, but it pays the bills, honey.
You like to be kept in that fine, fine house.
This is the man you married.
I gotta sterilize these screwworms.
Am I neutering them? Am I spaying the screwworm? I don't know.
Both.
But you somebody's doing it, and we thank you. We thank you with all our hearts.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B-102.9.
All right, band, are you ready?
Yeah.
Mikey's not here where he says he's actually under the weather for once. He wasn't lying.
Oh, my gosh, for real.
Announcer's name, playing a little bit under the weather, but you are ready, sir?
I think so, sir.
All right, let's go to Callie. Sally?
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Halftime. Under the baton of Director of Bands Danson, John Philip Sousa Hansen. Yeah. And musical director Greg Young.
Hey! I love you, Greggy.
The C102.9 Marching Band presents a special show today featuring the Scramble Players, including director Hanson and band secretary Claire. The Scramble Players presents, in the style of Saturday Night Live, the Californians.
I can't believe the Iowa Hawkeye football team is here in Southern California. What do you think they're doing here? I wonder which airport they used.
That's Israel Valerie. They have to play a game here against the University of Southern California Trojans. Greg, with 3 G's, said they flew into the Hollywood Burbank Airport just west of the Verdugo Mountains. But Karina insists it was LAX.
LAX? How stupid. They'd have to get on the 105 and take the 110 to get to Coliseum. And it's like so slow from Gardena to Hawthorne. The better option would be to land in Long Beach, take Lakewood Boulevard to the 405 and then the 110. That's the best option because there's a Taco Bell and a Chick-fil-A around the road.
What? A Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, a Chick-fil-A. By the South Park Pavilion Mall off East Dominguez.
Wow, I haven't been to that Chick-fil-A in centuries.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, Valerie?
I got the sneaking suspicion that someone's listening in.
Hello, Trevor. Valerie?
Announcer's name? What are you doing here?
You're both wrong about the best airport in Southern California. The best option would be the Santa Ana Airport, a.k.a. the John Wayne Airport in Orange County. All flight paths fly directly over Disneyland.
Wow, Disneyland. I haven't been there since I was a little girl.
Valerie? Do you know where the best churro is? It's a small world. You go up Main Street, USA, you go through Sleeping Beauty's Castle, then you take a ride at King Arthur's Carousel, you go past the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, and you're basically there. Right, announcer's name?
Right. Wow. And I just remembered, I hate that place.
What? Why?
All I wanted was Cinderella's autograph when I was a kid, but the only characters I could find were her stupid stepsisters. When they asked me for my name, I was so upset, I just blurted out, "You can call me Al."
2, 3, 4.
Z102.9 Marching Band, this is announcer's name saying enjoy the second half. And go Hawkeyes!
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble
on Z102.9.
Big Ten Scheduling Office having a little fun with the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
You got Oregon this past week. Great team.
Great team.
Great game.
Yeah.
Now on the road, West Coast. We are in Southern California to take on the USC Trojans.
It's all about that Southern California kind of mindset. We got to see if the Hawkeyes can get ready to take on another ranked opponent. Our big question right now is, how are they going to do that mentally? And no one better to ask than Matt Vandenberg. Good morning, Matt.
For having me.
It is so excited to have you here. We also are welcoming to our conversation our lead bass drummer from the Z102.9 marching band, Dr. Tyler.
Good morning. Can we get a good golf morning. Clap or something?
Oh, yeah, golf clap.
Golf
clap. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Do those numbers of the three losses get posted somewhere in the locker room, or the team knows that it's like just they've been three so close games?
It's not necessarily posted somewhere. But it's one of those things where that's why we're still ranked, is because those games are super close. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we're the only three loss team that's ranked right now, because those games do come down to the wire. I think the narrative is kind of like Iowa's close, but not quite there. Mm-hmm. I'd argue that we're there on all of those against a top two opponent
yeah.
in Indiana and then a top nine opponent in Oregon. So we're there. It's just the final 2 minutes, like normally that's the spot you want to be in. Defense, go out and win it, because offense went 93 yards.
Right.
That's not something we've seen from an Iowa offense. So to have that happen, I think shows the growth that Iowa's taken.
Well, are you at all worried? Was the defense struggling just a little bit? I mean, there just seemed to be a couple of things where it was like, oh.
Either some big runs got, or somebody yeah. snuck behind us and all of a sudden they hit like a 20-some yard passing route. But that's also, it's Oregon's a great team.
Oregon is they're a phenomenal team. Their quarterback, I think, is mock draft to go top 10 in the NFL draft next year. They were more physical than I think we were ready for. Normally the Oregon recruits of past tense would have been Pac-12, you know, kind of slinging all over the place.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning's kind of a defensive guy, and he got them more physical than I think Iowa, not necessarily was prepared for, but just something that, like, they really tried to be physical up front. And it showed. I mean, they were gashing us up the middle.
Yeah.
So I know that's going to be fixed going into USC.
Mm. I hope you're right. But, like, what do you think KF is telling the team, like, just to make sure we get to that win?
Well, the main message is you can't let Oregon beat you twice. So it's a heartbreaking loss. It's final minutes, right? Like, it's, and everybody's into it. The crowd was there. It was the right environment, and you lost. So how do you bounce back from a heartbreak? Well, there's two things here. One, you have a really good opponent that you can turn to. It's not like you're playing UMass and you're still thinking about
Oh,
Oregon,
sure, yeah.
Right?
Like, you
have
prep.
To prepare. So the normal rule is 24 hours. You go in, watch the tape on Sunday. And it's never as good as you thought it was, and it's never as bad as you thought it was. There's a story. We had the 2015 reunion this past week, and Coach Morgan came up and talked to us, and he was talking about the Michigan State game and the Big Ten championship, how we lost. LJ Scott holds it across the goal line. I'm sure we all cry every time we think about it. I'm dying
Dr.
inside.
Tyler is, I have Kleenex.
He's caught it. and he went back and he's like, you know, Coach Parker and I walked around downtown Indianapolis at midnight because we're, you know, we were upset and this, that, and the other thing. He goes, then we go back and watch the tape and realize how hard we played
yeah.
and how difficult that game was. So I think this is one of those. And then having to get up for another one, I think is you get an opportunity to get that taste out of your mouth and go beat a really good opponent away from Kinnick.
Dr. Tyler, as a fellow Hawkeye fan, a season ticket holder, we sit next to each other. What's your perspective going into USC, and what question might you have for Matt?
Well, the question I have is, historically, Iowa has traveled west and not done very well. But the weather forecast for Saturday is 100% chance of rain. We're bringing some Midwest weather to Southern California. Do you think that plays into our favor?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, their quarterback, again, we're facing another really good quarterback. Now, he was off throwing the ball against Nebraska. He threw some really dumb interceptions and whatnot.
Let's do that again.
Do that!
Yes. But most of USC's games, I think they're averaging 40 points a game, and they average giving up about 30 points a game. Like, they're shootout type games. That's not the way Iowa plays. Iowa's going to limit possessions. They're going to try and slow the game down in a sloppy game, just like we saw with Oregon, plays into our favor. It's just a matter of finishing it all the way through.
That's it, right? All the way through.
I
full
like
60.
That
yeah.
we're kind of swapping forecasts too, though, because it's going to
it feels
be,
that way, yeah.
Okay, here, you guys enjoy that rainy forecast.
Any other keys to the game from a Hawkeye standpoint? Or anything else we need to break down on Oregon? Or are we basically, like Kirk Ferentz says, one day you flush it and move on?
I think that's it. And I think it's a lot easier for us to think about it because we just go back to our normal
kind of wallow in it, yeah.
Yes, whereas they go back on Monday and they already have game plan for what they're going to do for USC. They've already added another 8 to 12 plays. Like, whatever that is has already started for them, so they're just back to work. You can't keep looking at Oregon.
Quickly test Dr. Tyler's memory. What was the Iowa-USC score in the Holiday Bowl?
49-24.
And who is the coach for USC? It's not the current program they have now, right? It's not like we could just go back to that playbook and come in.
That wasn't Helton, was it?
Know
I don't
that?
Remember.
How do you know that?
This is the computer
what
I
the
sit
heck?
Next to.
Hey, computer, what?
When you have like a great victory over a team, like that's just bygones be by. Like, they're not, that's not bulletin board material, right? That was a bowl game. That's a different game.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you don't want to lose. Like, and for us to have that confidence of
we've
if
played
the narrative
before.
Is we go out west and we play bad. If that's the narrative, well, we've proven that we can do it.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes. Doing it again. Yes.
Matt, can you give me a character, a name, somebody to watch from USC? Like, who should we be looking out for?
Besides a really, really good quarterback?
Yeah,
so Jordan Maiava is really good. If the rain isn't a terrible, like the thing with the Oregon game was the rain was nonstop and it was all the way through.
Yes.
They have a really good receiver, Mekhi Lemon. He's a guy that they're going to get the ball to. Lincoln Riley's kind of the quarterback guru, so he's going to find a way to get him the ball, Mekhi Lemon. He's kind of the main guy that we got to keep an eye on.
Okay.
There it is.
These are things that we know.
Yes.
Shut it down.
Talking Hawks with Matt Vandenberg. Lastly, what's coming up on the podcast?
So we interviewed Seth Anderson. Well, this week was Alex Marinelli. And although I promise you're listening to it on one time speed, he talks like you're listening it on 1.5. but he does it. He did a great job. We're actually doing some Q&A on this upcoming podcast. So
fun.
If anybody has comments, leave it on our YouTube, our Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X. I don't know all the social media
all the
stuff.
Ones you're all on.
Snap face, whatever it is.
Snap face.
just send it all over. We're going to answer quite a few questions.
And I forgot to ask, do we have any lore for USC?
We do. So I know it's not a rivalry game, but this one was hysterical to me because it is a rivalry thing. Between them and UCLA, they do prank wars during that week.
Oh, really?
And so UCLA will go over to their campus, and USC has who they call Tommy Trojan, which is a statue that they have on campus. Well, because there were so many pranks of like them painting the statue and like messing with it, they wrap it in duct tape for the entire week, and they have a
to protect it.
Yes, and it looks like a giant mummy on like. I feel like to disband a Trojan is to cover it in duct tape, but they do that, and then they have a group of people called the Trojan Knights that camp out in front of the statue that week so it doesn't get messed with.
Wow.
That's kind of awesome.
That's a serious rivalry, yeah. Too. Yeah,
defenders of the Trojan men.
Yeah. All right, it's the Hawkeyes. It's the Trojans of USC. That's coming up at 2:40 on the Big Ten Network. Dr. Tyler, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah.
Good to see you in the studio. And thanks to Matt Vandenberg coming in as we get you ready for Iowa-USC coming up tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at kzia.com.
Okay, have a good day.